tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. We welcome in comedian Sydney Adeni. And fresh from their Shark Tank appearance, we welcome the guys back from Guard Llama. At 12:05, we have Michael Silver with the March for Science. With Eliados, and Dr. Dingman returns at 1:05. And now to keep you warm on this chilly night, here is Patty Vasquez.
Happy Wednesday. It's a good point there, Michael, that you make in the introduction. It is a chilly night. It's April. Clearly, baseball is in full swing. Spring has been here for almost a month, and it's a chilly night in Chicago. But you know what? When you have good friends to warm up with, like Brandon C. Price in the studio, it's everything is good in the world.
It's toasty in here.
It is. It's
that's because of friendship, I think.
I think it's friendship. Also, these lovely lamps that we are lighting up the showcase.
I'm so excited about the lighting in here.
It for those of you watching on WGNradio.com, and if you are a regular viewer of our live stream that is available there, you know that they've changed the lights in our studio to these really harsh, white, nasty lights. Actually, not unlike the lights I think Esmeralda has to be exposed to every single day.
You have Esmeralda, really, she's tanning in there. That's,
it's, yeah,
those are UV
it's
lights.
Really harsh. I'm going to bring you a lamp. I mean, doesn't it changes the way it looks? I don't know how we look on the screen.
It does. It's you guys are in a much warmer light.
Yes. Yeah. You are like in some sort of fluorescent hell. A hellish nightmare. Yeah.
It's
like,
good, though. It keeps you awake.
But these lights make me angry. I mean,
I wonder what the science behind that is. Because
I'm sure there's.
I feel like it's, you know, I feel like everybody relates to that as they walk in here.
Yeah. It's like you just go, oh, why?
It's very like hospital late at night white.
It is. It's very. Our studio is lit up like an emergency room. Like you come in here and you're like, I'm not sure if I'm a guest or if I have a head lack.
Which for safety, A+.
Yes, it's excellent. If I need to take out a splinter, should you hurt yourself in our studio, I'll be able to see your wound very well.
This is good. I feel good.
Speaking of wounds, Bill O'Reilly's out at Fox News. I'm sorry, I should not revel. He's been let go at Fox News.
Was he
they
too
have dismissed
moderate?
Him. Bill O'Reilly? Have you not heard? Where have you been?
I don't watch a lot of Fox News.
Well, but it's been in the news. It's been in other news.
Baseball is
so
started.
Recently it came to light that there were up to 13 sexual harassment cases that Bill O'Reilly had settled, and there were more on their way. There were more stories coming out. And not only that, but Fox News is being investigated for a culture of sexual harassment. And so the network came out with a statement today, and the statement was basically, well, there's no denying he is the best at what he does.
And I was sexual
like,
harassment.
I know. I was like, he's one of the
perfected it.
One of the top-rated cable network guys ever. Okay, and he's a jerk apparently. And I'm curious as to whether people think that this is an overreaction. That I think, and I know I've seen some very angry people on Facebook who are big fans of Bill O'Reilly's. Clearly, I mean, he lost over 60 advertisers. They all pulled their money from his shows, and his ratings went up. Right? So advertisers were willing to go, those are people with money that we don't care about. If you're willing to watch somebody who has not only been accused of, but has also had to settle and continues to be under investigation, and more people keep coming out, and the companies like BMW and Bayer Aspirin, I mean, companies from all over the world pulled out their advertising, basically saying, we don't care how many people watch this. We don't want to have anything to do with it.
And Aspirin and BMWs, I mean, that's Fox News demographic. But isn't that cool?
It's everything,
sometimes
though.
The other side of the free market does something good. And that democracy shines a little brighter on days like this.
But I also wonder then if people were still fans of his, are still fans of his, and his numbers were so strong, can he then take that, he and other
people, go rogue.
Go and start their, whether it's their own network, their own something online streaming. I'm assuming they can do very well there.
Yeah, I mean, the personalities stand out more than the news outlets. I couldn't tell you where Rush Limbaugh spoke, like what channel or whatever he was on, but I know who he is, obviously, right. And I know his rhetoric. I feel like, isn't there a Trump channel about to start here in a little bit anyway?
I think
what
that
a
that
perfect
was the,
candidate.
I think that was the goal. I think that was actually the intention of running for president, was not to be president, but to start the Trump News Network.
Well, you get the bonus of sometimes getting to be president.
And then you get the president thing. And eat really good chocolate cake.
I have a friend on Twitter named Matt Tenzin, who's just so politically on point all the time. And he's keeping days in office and golf rounds ratio. Mm-hmm. And it's very equitable.
Yes, the cost the cost for President Obama, his security and travel was averaged out to about $30,000 a day. For Donald Trump, his family and security travel is up to $3 million a day.
Well, I mean, like, we were wasting it on entitlements, so this is perfect.
Yeah, this works out very well. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, people who are on welfare for three or four generations, you know, we may be able to cut them off.
Right.
But we're going to make sure that the President of the United States continues to golf in the manner in which he is accustomed.
Well, I mean, you know, they could go work at the golf course if they wanted to.
I don't even know what to
I
do
usually
with
don't
that.
Go that left on the radio. Look at me. Whee!
I don't know. Wow. You just, whatever it takes to get to the point.
It's 2017.
I know. It's all good things. It's all good things. We're spitballing here with our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That's, it's neither left nor right. It's just observing, commenting. 312-981-7200. I am curious. Do people think that that Fox Network overreacted? Are they responding too strongly to accusations of sexual harassment, or was this the right thing to do? 312-981-7200. Because I think that Fox News, and I think the level of exposure this is getting, the number of people who are coming forward with their stories, I think this will continue to escalate, not just at places like Fox News, but across the country, where women and men are subjected to sexual harassment, are going to put their foot down, for some of them at their own risk of their profession, of their job security. Some people, I think, and hopefully rightly so, hopefully they are, you know, are able to find
a
solution.
There's a lot of a cultural revolution in this aspect going on, I feel like. It's obviously starting in the more liberal communities, it's starting in the urban centers, but to have it go out to these, like, I mean, public open venues like that, like Fox News, like, to have this issue becoming more and more public is, you know, in a dark world, a light, an encouraging thing.
Well, because I think for too long, many of us have given silent permission. We've known that there was something wrong, and we've just been like, well, this is the cost of doing business. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll have more conversation about this and other things that are going on in the news. 312-981-7200. More after this. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, the CEO and mastermind of Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL. This coming Saturday night, our very own Elliot Serrano is the guest bartender. He'll be raising money for the Chicago Anti-Cruelty Society.
Yes.
And very excited for him. I'll be there on Saturday night. I'm going to be a little bit late, so save me a standing room only spot.
I'm sure that there'll be a seat for you.
I want to sit on the couch.
Well, actually, that couch is gone. It's gone. So is the grand piano. We changed everything.
Oh, I can't wait.
Things have gotten electronic and updated and fancy.
Look
and
out. Last time I was
sticky.
There, you were using... I'm sorry, what was the last one?
Less sticky. You know how theater floors that are BYOB get a little sticky?
Sure.
Not anymore.
I'm going to miss that about MCL.
It's a shame this is the word we were dwelling on.
Well, you say sticky. Well, speaking of sticky, here's what's going on at Fox News.
Zing.
I think that you know what I was telling a friend of mine when they started sending me messages about how there were rumors yesterday that Bill O'Reilly was on his way out, that Fox News had brought in this legal team to basically go over how they were going to eliminate his position. It's now called The Factor instead of The O'Reilly Factor on Fox News.
Is there a newly announced host?
I think it's probably going to be rotating hosts, as far as I can tell.
That's tough to build a following.
Till they figure. Well, I think that they, you know, they have their... They have their business plan. They have their following. And there are people who are very angry that Bill O'Reilly was let go. They feel like this is a witch hunt that, you know, and Bill O'Reilly has been stirring that pot, too, and saying that these women are being ridiculous, that Megyn Kelly doesn't appreciate where she came from. There is also the idea that, I mean, he was enabled and empowered by Fox News and by Ailes and by the culture of, you know, we've talked about this, where if you're in an environment where your more value is put on how your legs look in a skirt or how big your boobs are, then you're going to be treated differently. And there is both, first there is silent permission where everyone, both the person who is being harassed kind of just laughs it off because, well, I don't really know what to do. I'm not in a position of power. I'm kind of at the whims of the people who either have the show or are the boss. And the people who actually have decision-making ability, they go, well, that's, you know, that's Bill being Bill. And we're not going to give him a hard time for calling a black woman hot chocolate. You know, that's Bill. It's Bill being Bill. And he's jocular. Exactly. And what you do is you do destroy morale at the expense of one person being the celeb, the superstar. And that's what I think has happened around Bill O'Reilly. And not just Bill O'Reilly, but other people who have worked at Fox News, other women who have said they have been subjected not by only him, but by other executive producers and by Ailes. So, but it happens. It happens, you know, in much smaller ways and in much more nuanced ways for women who are, you know, spoken to as though they are not as important because of the way they look or because of the possibilities of sexual favors.
I think another part that plays into that is, you know, the higher up the ladder you go in any company, generally the older demographic you're dealing with, like generations before are usually running things. That's just kind of how it all works. And I think that as we move generationally as a culture, the more information spreads about things. And that's kind of why, you know, we get to take on a civil project at a time, if you will. And I think this is in the focus now, but it's easy when you're in it and when you're in the circles that communicate about it. We see it on Facebook. We hear it on the radio stations that we listen to. And we're talking about it, which is great, and which is where it starts. And I think sometimes that older generation that isn't connected to how we're connected, doesn't follow the things we follow online, and still listens to the nightly news on the TV, you know, and so isn't exposed to these kind of conversations. I feel like that's the real shame, and that's one of the reasons why that's continuing to happen in places like this, or at least a contributing factor, because the culture doesn't change because it's not exposed to the conversations that we're exposed to. I mean, 20 years ago, you'd have never heard this on public. You know what I mean? Like, these conversations weren't happening.
Right. It's just assumed that that's the way things are. I mean, that's the cost of doing business, was kind of the way I was.
Especially in those entertainment worlds.
Oh, yeah. Comedy. Esmeralda, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would assume that there have been comments throughout your career, regardless of where you've worked, where you're like, oh, okay, I guess that was just said to me. I guess that's the way things are.
Yeah. What usually happens, and this happens in personal life as well, as I'm kind of seen as one of the guys, so then they're just saying things about other women in front of me as if like because I'm not a woman or anything, and that's not gonna bother me.
Ugh. See, it happens in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
So and again, I mean, I think as somebody who I have experienced it, I have, by just laughing it off or not directly saying that's not okay. Because a lot of people have said, why didn't these women come out sooner? Why did they hold on to it? Because you do worry about your job safety. You do worry about your livelihood. I support a family. I am solely responsible for my entire family. I am the breadwinner. Do you think I'm going to say anything to anybody about being, you know, about a boss that whether I'm at a comedy club or I'm at a theater or whatever sort of, you know, if I'm at a corporate event, you know, I absolutely cannot say anything because my job is vulnerable.
So let's examine then the other side of the argument, you know, and I think sometimes just to understand it, you know, so there's people saying that this is simply an overreaction, the Bill O'Reilly firing.
How do you take the other side?
There are cases where at any time, you know, that we try to swing the pendulum of something that's wrong back towards right. I mean, just science dictates that it is going to swing a little bit sometimes past that equilibrium that we're looking for.
Right.
Going the other way. And so I definitely understand that point being made in cases. But, you know, 13, I mean, but sometimes that's irrelevant. I don't think that's a strong enough argument to get
keep,
in the way.
Keep working
of,
on the argument. We'll take a break.
Right? You know,
work on the argument. We'll figure it out. More after this on 720 WGN.
Hi, Sharks. My name is Nick Navarez.
And I'm Joe Parisi. Our company, Guard Llama, is based out of Chicago, Illinois. We are seeking $100,000 in exchange for 5% of our company.
Joe Parisi, it's so weird to hear you and see you. One of the co-founders of Guard Llama, recently fresh off the great appearance, you guys, the hit you made,
thank you,
the splash,
thank you,
as they would say,
yeah,
on
yeah.
Shark Tank's Friday night. Brandon C. Price, you're a fan of the show, but you have not seen this episode, so
no,
I hate
I
to
haven't.
Ruin it for you and anybody else who has not yet watched
Let's
it.
Do it. Let's
but your
it.
Clip is available on YouTube, so that's how I was
and
able to
and on ABC,
watch.
Too. If you go to ABC,
that's
you can
right.
pull the latest episode.
Maybe go there, because then it's better for like the people like, oh, they must have really loved these guys from Guard Llama. Everyone's watching this episode.
Yeah,
so.
And I don't really know what the deal with the YouTube is, but it seems like they had to alter the voices or something so they could get around copyright or
oh,
something.
Oh, really?
So, like, my voice is very awkward.
It's like a modulator. Yeah, that's what it was. It was you Lucy sounded great.
Very strange.
That's exactly what you're looking for. So you, and his name's Nick, is the other guy who I have not met, right?
Yes, Nick Navarez from BC.
So Nick and you walk out and with a llama.
Correct.
And everyone kind of, like, I think it seemed as though they were hoping you were going to, what, pitch a llama farm?
That was the misdirection we were trying to provide, right?
Oh.
But what was really funny was they had the, I don't know if I mentioned this, but they had, you know, the llama shows up and they've got a whole team, you know,
right.
and with the way that Sony works, like, there's a very specific set of rules that apply when you have a llama.
Sure.
Or when any animal, right? You need a handler.
I kind of want it to be just llama specific.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. But they show up and they're like, hey, you know, an hour before, we're going to train you. You're going to have a really great idea of how this works. And the next thing I know, they're like, hey, you're on. Here's the rope. Good luck.
Oh,
and they just threw me out there.
So yeah, there you are with your llama friend. What was the llama's name?
Don Juan was the
It was Don Juan. Yeah. Oh, come on. How
yes,
cute
he was.
Is that?
So well, we had our pick. I mean, they had like 15 different llamas. We could.
How did you choose?
Well, we went back and forth with the producers. It was actually a very extensive process. Yeah, they wanted the llama that really represented, I guess, probably that looked most like me or something.
Yeah. Now,
this
if you
looks like he guards me the best.
Yeah.
If you had to do over, would you have asked, when was the last time these llamas ate?
Probably.
Right?
Actually, or it wouldn't have mattered. They got to feed them either way.
Well, maybe they get nervous and they, you know, it's kind of that fight
that's
or flight
thing. That's what I'm
thing.
Assuming.
Oh, the llama took a dump on
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, of course.
And that's an icebreaker in itself, though, right? Like,
yeah.
Okay, I couldn't embarrass myself as much
right.
as that llama just did.
And that was, I mean, that was like, okay, worst case scenario, this is what happens.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, like, being kicked by
the hitch,
yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think the llama attacking anybody on the panel probably would have been a worse moment.
No, they had, right. We had him like clipped to a thing.
Okay.
So, but that's a
rogue.
Sell for like safety and like, you know, law and order.
Right.
Which, you know?
And that's what Nick says. Like, while the llama's doing that, he's like, hey, and the llama's still standing there guarding everybody. Silver lining.
And you guys came out, talked about it's a safety device and app it's a personal security device.
Correct.
And I thought it was a great pitch.
Thank
you guys
you.
Did a really nice job.
Thank
and
you.
Actually also tying it into what happened and the very personal reason as to why you guys came up with this idea. And then, so you were telling me that Mark Cuban's reaction, which on the air was really significantly negative.
Yeah, yeah.
But that wasn't necessarily the entire package. That wasn't everything he said to you.
No, well, I mean, you know, the pitch is 1 to 2 hours long, and they cut it back.
No.
Yeah.
Whoa, is it really?
Yeah.
No.
You pitch for 1 to 2 hours.
How much airs? Like 6 minutes?
15. Oh, yeah, if.
10 to 15
15?
Minutes.
Yeah, because
okay.
You get 3 an episode, right?
Yeah. Or 4. Do you get 4 or 3?
I don't know.
I think you might get 3.
I've seen like,
I'm like 10 seasons behind because I stream online. I don't have a TV.
You have to watch Guard Llama, ABC.com.
Yeah, I will specifically order ABC for this.
I don't know if you have to order ABC.
Just ABCGo.com.
Look, I'll give somebody whatever money I'm supposed to give.
Someone will be paid.
I support Shark Tank.
I have it on my laptop if you want me to pull it up for you. But so wait, it's an hour to 2 hours long?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Which is actually like very typical. I mean, you know, we've got maybe 20 investors or so, and I've never gotten a check in under an hour. You know, I mean, if someone's going to write you a check, I mean, there's a lot of questions that need to be asked about who you are, what you do,
okay,
what the plan to grow is, you know, all those things.
So how much? So you were looking to sell you wanted in exchange for 5% of your company.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted $100,000.
Correct.
And so you go down the row. So Mark Cuban says he's out because of liability.
Yep.
And so what other things did he say before he got to that as a hitch for him?
Actually, he was really awesome. I mean, some of like the better compliments I've ever gotten in my career, where he was saying, you know,
that would not be that
yeah,
is not
that would
apparent.
Not be the impression you would have gotten. But he said, what did he say? I remember him saying that I was building the business the exact way he would build it if he were in my shoes. That like he loved the strategy that we were doing. He loved the company. He loved us. The only problem that he had was the liability perspective.
And have you gotten that comment before from people that you said you've got 20 investors?
Yeah.
And people have brought that up before.
Yeah.
And what I said to you right away, what struck me when he said that was, but this is better than doing nothing.
Right.
In the absence of this.
Yeah.
Then some people are without any hope.
Well, that's what I tell everyone is, you know, we can all come up with like a weird edge case where I'm in the middle of the earth and, you know, there's nothing we can do. But the reality is when dialing 911 is not an option,
right,
this is the only option you have to potentially get help.
Well, and it would be like saying, like, if you dial anyone who dials 911 and nothing, you can't save them, then we're we're going to...
Yeah, we throw that out too.
We throw that out. Right. Like, well, it's not worth it.
Right. Right. Or every like bank that's ever been robbed or every... Right.
Yeah,
like,
we're going to be litigious against the dispatcher or against the law enforcement. It doesn't...
Everybody's looking for somebody to blame.
Yeah. Well, it's just you always have those people who like they want to like... I don't know. It gives them gratification to tell them, like, tell me why, like, the thing I haven't thought of, you know? And it's like, all right, I guess, you know, like, hopefully you don't find yourself in a bank vault, you know, whatever the case. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm not threatening, Mark.
Right. Yeah. but for the majority of people who would find themselves in the vast majority of situations, you know, like, we can help them.
Right.
And that's worth the risk in your mind.
Yeah.
It's worth the
risk.
Well,
I mean, not only that, but like security companies have existed for a very long time. And from a liability perspective, they've all found a way to mitigate.
I mean, Life Alert doesn't get sued when somebody dies.
Right. Correct. And all the Life Alert, First Alert, Alert One, you know, I mean, you've got a laundry list of companies that are made around the same idea, right? Push a button and the police come help. Every bank has panic buttons in there, every jewelry store, all that stuff.
And that's what it is. It is a panic button.
Mom.
It's, you know, I'm in someone's trunk or I'm being followed or this, you know.
Or I'm uncomfortable generally, right?
Is the GPS...
Can I have that during my show?
Is that why it's standalone? Is that why it's like miles above your Life Alerts and things like that? Is because of it just stand... It's its own thing. It's its own locator.
Well, Life Alert itself has to get installed into a landline of your house. So like they charge you, I don't know. It's like $150 to get it installed into your house. And then someone actually comes in and they install it into a landline that's in your wall. And then you have a bubble around your house that you're able to wander through. And if you exit the bubble, then it loses signal with the receiver or whatever it is.
It's 911 help 3 times faster. We're hanging out with like Joe Parisi. Well, it's on your website.
No, I know. That's why I like it.
who wrote that?
Ooh, that's
copy.
A great tagline you have there,
Patty. Wait a minute. What is that? I love the way you said that. Oh, wait a minute. We wrote it. We're hanging out with Joe Parisi, fresh off his appearance on Shark Tank, ABC's Shark Tank. You go to abc.com. I think it was abcgo.com. There's a couple different ways to watch the episode. Mm-hmm. And it was really great. We're going to find out how things turned out. Who ended up biting? Whoa.
I've heard them all lately. I know. So, yeah.
More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, and join our conversation if you want to jump on the line. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. More after this.
All right, let's do it.
Congrats, Barbara.
Got it. Congrats. All righty, baby.
Thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, that's your departure. That's walking off
now
the set.
That was good. Barbara, yeah. We are going
so
to
you, you pitch your idea. Mark Cuban says, "I don't want in because you guys are going to get sued. I don't want any part of that."
Yes.
Is that basically his assessment?
Essentially.
On the air, but off the air, he said it was, I mean, the part that we didn't see was how great your business plan is, how impressed he was with all of that. And then you go down the line, and there was somebody who offered you, I think they wanted 20% of your business, and up until you sell a certain number, for and he would give you $100,000.
Oh, that was Barbara.
Barbara,
20,
oh, it was
20 for 100.
Okay.
With $2.
Oh, you negotiated her down. Yeah. You said, how about 18%?
Yeah, well, I said, how about 15?
Oh, that's right.
I got hammered on it. No. All they do is negotiate all day, so it's a little bit more.
They're sharp on it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, they've heard every objection.
Yeah, well, and you were there for 1 or 2 hours. So how many times did you go back and forth for a while on that, or was it almost as quick as it seemed when she offered? She wanted 20.
It was pretty quick.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it started rolling in, and like people start popping out, and you kind of see how it's going to roll. So.
And who was the other guy that made the offer as well?
Kevin O'Leary did.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool because, you know, he's normally the person that that dumps on everybody, right?
Yeah. He doesn't make that many offers.
No, and he rips everybody apart. So he came in, he didn't really have anything negative to say and just made an offer, which was, I don't know, kind of...
That's affirming.
Uplifting.
That's, yeah, morale boost for sure.
Exactly. I'm like, you know, I don't need Sokka. I got O'Leary.
Can I ask probably an ignorant question? Just with the investing and how that works. So, you know, you and your business partner, you own, like, let's just say 50-50 of the business or whatever. And now you're going in and you're selling 18%.
Mm-hmm. On top of the other 20 investors that you have.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're trying to do a simple example, though.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I want to make it more complicated.
So
okay,
are you, like, do you just split it pro rata based on the percentage then? So you both have to give up 9?
Or
so whatever.
You would both lose 18. Right, so 18% of my 50, and he would lose 18. So I guess, either you both give up 9.
Wait.
You know
what
I mean?
No.
Okay, so
radio, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so if I have 50%, I would give up 18% of my 50%.
Right.
And he would give up 18% of his 50. Or so if you have 100 points and I have 50 of them.
Right.
And I give up 18% of my 50 points.
Okay.
And he gives up 18% of his 50 points.
Right.
Then the investor has a full 18% of 100 points.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So it
yeah.
is pro rata, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Your,
I got you.
Point.
That makes sense.
I was told there would be no math on this show.
That makes
no,
the math a little easier.
I got
you just
there.
Think like everyone loses. Everyone is diluted equally based on what they have. So if I have 2%, I would lose 18% of my 2%.
Okay.
Right.
If okay.
I have
very cool.
40%, then I lose 18% of my 40.
And so everybody who's sitting on these percentage numbers just at the end of the year, like, hey, that went really well. We all made $1 million. Here's your 18% of $1 million.
Yeah, I guess whatever's left at the end, right? I mean, okay. You know, a business is constantly in a state of dilution, usually, right? If you're growing, you're raising money. Every time you raise money, people dilute. Every time you increase the option pool, people dilute. Every time you hire someone, people dilute, right? So pretty much any action to the cap table, the capital structure of the business is going to cause dilution. And that basically means you own less of the company. But normally it's a good thing because you own less of a bigger pie.
Well, right? And obviously the goal is to get a bigger pie.
Right.
To make sure the pie right. keeps getting bigger. How, so you're even if your piece gets smaller, it's still a bigger piece.
Yeah.
How big does the pie get before you are no longer in control of the direction of it all? Or is that even a concern? You know, I've made a great product. I'd like to continue to get paid for that great idea that I had, and I'm not really worried about how they attach it to, you know, Mace or whatever the next yeah. step of it is. Or
I mean, that normally it doesn't normally happen like that, where it's just like a royalty deal of some kind where you just walk, unless you have some type of like highly like some patent that's not really
right.
copyable or something like that. Typically what would happen is, you know, you would go through an exit. Maybe there's an earn out where they would force you to work for them for X amount of years in order to transfer your knowledge base over.
Okay.
And then usually in terms of control, you normally have a board of directors, right? So always an odd number of people. They vote on material decisions. And that's normally the where the vote happens. So
okay.
if you want to do a big dilution event, the board would have to vote. And those are three or five people who have the company's interests at heart and not just your interests.
Okay.
So what is Barbara Corcoran's the one that made the deal with you.
Yep.
And what is her, I'm not familiar with what her background is in.
Real estate.
Oh, she's, oh, that's right. Yeah. That's, she was saying that
she's from New York.
For people who show properties, this is good yep. for them to feel like they are,
yeah.
they can be
so
safer.
So she felt the pain point personally in her years in real estate. She knew that it was applicable. She had friends who had stories. You know, she told the story about her brother.
With the motorcycle accident.
Yep. So it was, and we have a partnership with, where we work with a lot of real estate agents and things like that. So we thought that it would roll off of the work we've already done in the industry pretty easily. She's got to be the most iconic real estate agent in the United States right now. So.
And when was this shot? When did you guys film the Shark Tank episode?
Last November, maybe September.
Okay.
September, November, yeah.
So Michael was just wondering, how often are you in contact with her, with Barbara Corcoran?
Twice this week, I think. I mean, if I email her, I get a response normally in like 3 to 4 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
And since the episode aired on Friday, what has it been like on your website? What's the traffic? How much has it changed?
Well, there's a whole, I mean, I haven't even had, I haven't actually been able to figure out the new baseline or anything.
Uh-huh.
It's just constant. I mean, we probably get a new sale every 30 minutes.
Okay.
You know, a couple an hour easily.
That's
yeah.
<cool.
laughs> So
that's
just
so
keep
cool,
going.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
And it's
great.
Cool because just like everywhere you're seen and everything, it just creates a new traffic flow, you know, no matter what. People are seeing you in different places. There's stories like this that drive people and people hear about you. And so even from Google's perspective, we're more relevant. We're more popular. We're cooler, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
and so you rank more.
You have news stories now. Like usually when you Google somebody, yeah. like you don't necessarily get news stories. But if you
yeah.
if you type in Guard Llama. Like,
there's a news feed there now.
There's a news
and the more
feed.
Time your name in general appears on the internet, the better your SEO is. And even
usually,
organically, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, the whole name of the game is relevance because Google's algorithm's fairly complex, but that's what they look
right.
for is not only how often are you looked for, but how many credible people like WGN reference you.
Right.
How many
right.
credible people like ABC or, you know, whatever, Shark Tank, they reference you, and that's a statement of how credible you are. Because they wouldn't waste time referencing a company that doesn't exist or
that's crazy
or a fraudster or whatever it is, right?
Numerically value that now.
Yeah.
Instead of
and they
like,
even look
popular.
At things like if someone clicks on your site, how long do they stay on it? Do they click on it and then leave really quickly because it wasn't relevant, or do they stay for a while? And those all those little factors add up to give you where you rank.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Well, Joan S., a real estate agent, really likes you. More after this on 720 WTM.
That.
Once again, we want to congratulate Joe Parisi for really just such a fun appearance on Shark Tank. And it's really great to have you on the show again. We want you to come back anytime. Anytime you want to come
really
talk about what's
that.
Going on. Yeah, love to have you. If you're like just downtown, text us.
Okay. Yeah,
let us know. And I think that you guys need, do you have like a cool, like your Guard Llama Twitter handle, Twitter should be like a fun feed.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe not because it's such an important device. I don't know how you straddle that.
Well, we still have to be active. And a lot of our potential users will ask us questions on Twitter or Facebook and say, hey, you know, I didn't really quite understand how this works, or I didn't really quite understand how this works. So we're pretty active on there.
Well, there you go. If you have questions, if you didn't have a chance to call in or text us tonight and you have a question about Guard Llama, you can tweet at them at Guard Llama.
Yep.
Go to the website at guardllama.com. Check out the episode on Shark Tank on ABC.com.
Facebook too, at the Guard Llama Facebook page.
There you go.
Solid Instagram game, Guard Llama Safety.
Oh, thank you.
Very good. Well, we look forward to seeing you again. And again, that was so cool. You guys got a $100,000 investment from Barbara Corcoran.
Yep.
And I'm just so glad it turned out that way. Because you wouldn't tell us anything last week, which I know.
No,
you
I know,
were...
because they'll pull the episode.
Wow.
Someone I know actually got their episode pulled because a week before it leaked. And they just called them and said, hey, we're not airing you.
Oh, well, I'm so glad that
so
nothing...
it's not worth, like, you know, it's not worth blowing it. It's not worth blowing it.
You got no leaks on the team, which is good to know.
Well, that's true. That's
I'm glad
true.
I did not contribute to any leakage. That sounded weird. Thank you so much, Joe. Have a great night. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you. Yeah, thank anytime, you. Guys. Thanks for
absolutely.
Having me.
Absolutely. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, writing Sidecar Tonight, one of the creators and masterminds behind Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL Chicago over there on Sheffield near Belmont, cross street from the Vic Theater. This Saturday night, our very own Elliot Serrano is the guest bartender, raising money for the Chicago Anti-Cruelty Society.
I'm so excited.
How do you guys get him ready for that? Do you?
The whole point is that you don't.
Okay. You don't get ready for it? Oh,
we
no.
We just throw him in. He'll be great. And I think you want that vulnerability. You want, as an audience of an improv show, you want to see, even the best improvisers, you want to empathize with that human, like, second of, like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Why am I here?
And so we'll get to see a lot of that and save animals.
That's right. And next month, in June, I believe that's when we decided. Mm-hmm. I will be also the guest bartender.
17th, did we
June 17th, and I will
very
be
exciting.
Raising funds for ChildServe, our very good friend Senator Dan Katowski, who is the CEO of ChildServe, helping at-risk children lead happier and healthier lives.
He's got two tickets to that show.
All right, I will let him know.
And you get a comp as well. Play your cards right.
Well, let's see who's nice to me. Thank you very much. Speaking of performers, we have several performers in the studio. We also have Sydney Adeniyi, who's performing at Zany's in Rosemont through Saturday.
Yep, through Saturday.
So go to zanys.com for those shows. How is it to be back in Chicago? Because you are living in Los Angeles now.
Yes, I'm living in Los Angeles. It feels good. It's kind of chilly here. I've been living in LA for maybe 3 months now. I'm like, oh, I can't take
it. You're already into the weather.
Yeah.
He lives in a pretty cool neighborhood, too. And definitely behind a very nice coffee shop, like one of those total like 1950s coffee shops.
Yeah.
It's a cool joint. I
like going that direction as opposed to like the angry hipster who judges me for not knowing how to say the drink right. Coffee shop.
I'm not saying it's not a lot of hipsters there. I'm going to guess there's a lot of hipsters at that coffee shop.
There's
a lot of hipsters. And I don't know.
They own coffee.
They do. They own all the coffee in every neighborhood. That's for sure. Michael Silver joins us, as does Rodrigo Hernandez.
Fernandez.
It's important to sing distinction. And I was. Did you see me looking around for a pen so I could write it down? And I'm like, you know what? I got it. I got it. And guess what? I did not have it.
One of the Mandezes. I got it.
Rodrigo Fernandez.
Fernandez.
I'm going to get it all over the place. I got very excited the other day because someone was wearing a Fernando Valenzuela jersey at Wrigley. So now my brain is all over the place. I can't get any Latino name right, including my own, as a matter of fact.
It's 100 or nothing, so that's good.
Yeah, it's all good stuff. Michael,
Velasquez.
I've been called Patty Sanchez. So
all right.
That's
I've got a whole slew of names.
It's like a vowel and a consonant and ends
Fernando,
with.
Which makes me feel badly about Rodrigo Fernandez. That's all right. You guys have an important event coming up on Saturday.
Yes.
Right.
And the March for Science kicks off on Saturday morning. Tell us what has changed since last week.
Okay.
So much preparation.
So much preparation. So much. It's been crazy. We had our last logistics meeting on Sunday, and we kind of all like, we're like, well, this is it. Let's go.
Here we go. Let's hope people show up.
I mean, we have tens of thousands interested. That are saying they're going. The city has given us everything we want. The rally at 10 a.m. We've got four speakers, and then we have a special guest speaker, which is a student who won a science essay competition. Mm-hmm. They're going to read their essay in front of thousands of people on this stage in downtown Chicago. It's down at Jackson and Columbus in the Grant Park area, that Central Park area.
Okay.
Then we march south.
Is it behind the Art Institute?
Yeah.
Essentially, right. We're going to be right on Columbus, just south on south of Jackson. Will be where the stage and everything for the rally is set up. That's where we're going to have all the speakers and everything.
And it's facing south. South.
Jackson will still be open. And then from there, the march will head south down on Columbus onto Museum Campus. And then we'll have our expo starting from noon to 3 right in front of the Field Museum. And they're like taxi loop where different people around the city can show what they're doing in science.
And why people, you know, who see these sort of, you know, the preparation for a march or for a rally, they're like, well, what are they protesting? In none of these conversations have we, any one of us, used the word protested.
No.
There's a distinction.
Yeah. So right. I got to be honest, individual groups from the Chicago area that are attending, even nationally for the DC, different independent groups will all come with their own goal for this. Now, the march itself from the organization, from the group, the individuals organizing it, we're like, no, this is a celebration of science. We realize the current political climate, but what we want to focus on is helping bridge that gap between science and the public.
Okay.
You know, because we feel like there is that gap. It's been there for a long time. And right now we're like, okay, let's actually start doing something about it. So on that front, Emily Grassley from the I was like Doug Degrassi.
We actually don't know where he's gonna be. We were discussing that earlier today.
He's in a surprise.
But we are
March.
Assuming Washington D.C. because that was like the primary focus. I think Bill Nye is gonna be there.
Yeah, we think Bill Nye based on some of his posts and stuff.
He's
but
in the show cool. too.
Yes, maybe. Exactly.
But Neil today, put a video.
Good old Neil
on science and everything and how. How important it is and how science should influence policy versus policy influence science and how we should listen to it and look for that.
Did you guys happen to invite Tom Skilling?
I don't know. I wasn't part of two of the main organizers.
Well, just send them an email and tell them, I'm just saying, as a last minute, you might want to reach out to Tom Skilling. He would love this, I would think.
Yeah. Well, the thing
Tom
is,
Skilling?
What about Beekman? Beekman's World?
No, we didn't reach out to Beekman. We're trying to keep it local. That was probably the main reason we didn't, you know.
Might as well invite Beaker then, right?
Yeah, right. But we...
that would be
hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Wait, hey, show up. Who knows? I don't know.
So hold on, though. Like, so how do you... You're talking about bridging that gap and talking about leading policy with science instead of the other way around. Like, how do you do that then? As a person going to this march or watching it on TV or being exposed to it via the radio, like, what are you doing that's making me walk away going, ah, yes, I do think more scientifically now?
So I think that's the main part. I mean, the rally obviously is meant to inspire and inform, but the rallies are just these motivational speakers. They're going to speak from different aspects of science, whether it's race related. We have some people of color speaking about their experience going through a PhD program in engineering and stuff. So hopefully that can be inspiring to certain communities. And then the march is great, and that's just going to be energy, fun, cheering for science. But the expo is really the element that I think is where you can delve in and learn about locally what's going on, hopefully be inspired by something, and either Google some stuff when you get back or think about science in a different way after that day. Because it's supposed to be, we have a bunch of organizations signed up. We're shooting for 100 of tables. They're each going to have a booth, and they're different organizations that are national but based here in Chicago, or a chapter here in Chicago, the national, or from the universities showing research. We have groups that are going to focus on family elements with child-friendly portions to be like, cool, let's get more children interested in science. Mm-hmm. So this expo is really going to be an outreach portion. It's not just the march where we're all loud and really showing our energy and support for science. This is a moment to really take the next step, learn about the community in Chicago, all these different organizations, maybe sign up to help volunteer, right, or just be inspired. And hopefully next time you think about policy and science, you saw something here that'll make you go, let me look that up, or let me look to this, because this organization told me something about this, or I liked this person that was representing this idea. Let me contact them through email, you know? Yeah. So that expo is where I think that inspiration and starting to bridge that gap can really, really happen.
Yeah, definitely, like to show what is going on here in Chicago, at least, or around us with Fermilab out west. We got Northwestern, you know, all these science
community Chicago,
here in
there's
Chicago,
so much.
It does a lot of research going on here that we just might not be aware as the normal community, knowing what's going on.
It's a fast-growing tech hub, too. Right. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. More with our guests when we come back. Join our conversation anytime, 312-981-7200. You can call or text us at 312-981-7200. More in a moment. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining us are our friends from the March for Science planning team. I don't know, is that what you're calling it? The coordinating team?
The organizing team. We're the logistics committee.
Logistics committee.
Yeah, logistics.
I'm making things up and letting you correct me, because that's how I actually how I function best, is people telling me I'm wrong about something.
Fernandez.
Rodrigo Fernandez.
Fernandez.
Miguel
La Plata.
Yes. Sydney, I got nothing for you. Sydney Adeniyi.
Adeniyi.
Yes. I was very happy the first time I said your name correctly. It took me a while as well.
Adeniyi? Oh,
yeah.
How do you spell
Adeniyi? A-D-E-N-Y-I. No, I don't got it.
A-D-E-N-I-Y-I.
Oh, I was so close.
Adeniyi.
Yeah.
Adeniyi.
I am hungry,
Adeniyi.
So we should go to Adeniyi.
Adeniyi, yeah.
If you say so. Sydney Adeniyi is performing at the Zanies in Rosemont. It's one of the best comedy clubs in the country. And Sydney is incredibly funny.
Oh,
performing. And you're also working with Pat Tomasulo from WGN Morning News.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
hilarious.
It's a really fun show. It's a bunch of dudes on a show.
Sounds like Chicago.
Dudes on a show.
Dudes are funny.
Dudes are very funny. These dudes are very, very funny.
Yeah.
So that's at Zanies in Rosemont. Go to zanies.com for information. Click on the calendar. It'll show you like the different locations. And he's at the Rosemont Zanies. And Brandon C. Price, whose show Vamp is a music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL at Sheffield and Belmont area. It's not actually on Sheffield, near Belmont. I don't know the address.
You get out there, you'll see a liquor store and a giant line of people.
You'll see. Exactly.
B-Y-O-B. For that liquor store.
For the liquor store.
Rodrigo. We're passing postcards in the corner.
That's right. Come see our show. Where are you from, Rodrigo?
I was born in Costa Rica, but I was raised in Florida.
Uh-huh.
Actually, Mike and I are hometown friends.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I moved here a couple years ago.
And what's your background in? What did you study?
I studied aerospace engineering.
Okay.
That's what I have my bachelor's in. And I've segued into the service industry here in Chicago. I work at a restaurant in the West Loop. So
engineering can lead to serving tables.
Yeah, very smooth transition.
It was
from
a different transition. I did it through college. After college, I had a startup company with a friend of mine. We did a product design. During that time, I was also in the service industry. But I'm really passionate about it. I really love it. I think it's a different science in itself. People, you get this like two-hour relationship with them, and you got to like make them have the time of their life. And it's actually really fun.
Okay. I haven't worked in the service industry. I'm trying to track, but
it's challenging.
I'm not sure how long you've been in the service industry. Yeah. No, if you're passionate about it, the highs are high and the lows are low when it comes to the service industry.
Absolutely.
He's been in it for years though. I mean, he did it in Florida and I mean, he's working at one of the finest restaurants in Chicago.
Yeah, it's like a seniority thing, right? You put in your dues and you're good at your job and you eventually get to where like they got that knife that takes the crumbs away and you're making like a ton of money.
Oh, he's been doing that. Yeah, that's
all.
That's what he does.
That's really fancy.
Yeah, it's like fancy town.
But the skill that is required in making that butter knife pick up the crumbs.
It's the butter knife and it's buttering them
where is this?
That's in the West Loop.
That's all he's going to give us.
Oh, Momotaro, if you want to be specific.
Yeah, you can be specific.
Yeah, Momotaro.
Momotaro.
It's delicious.
It's a Japanese cuisine.
I was just like, ooh, more crumbs.
The funny thing is we don't really do a lot of bread because it's a Japanese restaurant.
Yeah. Oh. It's a lot of rice.
Lots of rice.
Sushi and
sashimi. Have you been?
No.
Oh.
You should come in.
Do you like sushi at all?
Sushi.
Oh, me too.
I love all the sushi. Not just do I like sushi at all. I like all the sushi.
Do you guys judge people that only order rolls, only order maki? Like, are you like, oh, you're not a secure?
Just say yes.
You
just
can
be honest.
Okay, I want
to
know.
No, it's honestly, to me, it's more of like a beginning steps to really appreciation, like nigiri and sashimi and the
new.
Like
before, after work, when you guys are doing family meal or whatever.
Now that I'm a beginner.
Are you all roll?
I
do maki. Yeah,
I mean, they're delicious. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Absolutely.
But you guys are all back there with sashimi going.
Sushi. Yeah, I like a sushi.
What's the expert sushi?
The expert sushi?
You told me, was it sashimi the other day? You said traditionally you're supposed to use your fingers. You're not even supposed to use because
nigiri,
you flip it onto your
the
tongue.
Oh, the nigiri. Over the rice.
I don't
you
know.
Flip
that.
It on. You put a little bit of soy in it. Flip it on your tongue because if you put the dip the rice into the soy, it kind of breaks it apart. So that we brush the nigiri with soy, so it's ready to go. When it hits
you
the
flip what on your tongue? Hold on, you're just some new stuff. Like, I don't even know about that.
So for the nigiri pieces, since it's over the rice,
okay,
you actually are supposed to put the fish onto the tongue versus mostly people just put the rice.
Okay.
You know what this reminds me of? I just found out that I've been eating Pringles the wrong way too. Did you see this article?
No.
Pringles.
Yeah, you're supposed to put the
upside down.
Yeah, you're supposed to put the like the curve.
That makes sense. It
I just
fits
like the
curvature
the
of your tongue
lips with those, no. And then eating.
That's them. Where the seasoning
you can't
is.
Can't mandate that. Here, that is overregulation.
I'll teach you more during the break. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Our friends Michael Silver and Rodrigo Fernandez have been telling us about the... we jumped to sushi and stuff. But I want to make sure, and I'm not moving you guys along. I want to make sure that we have people familiar with what's going to happen on Saturday for March for Science, starting at 10 a.m.
Yep.
At Jackson and Columbus.
Yes.
So you have a staging area there. There'll be a rally with speakers motivating people to get involved in science, be aware of what's going on in the community.
Correct. The best way to enter the whole rally and everything is go through Congress and then head north in Columbus. That's where we're having everybody have the congregation port to start go through there
because it might be fenced off. You do have to
tons
we're fencing
of
off a lot so
and if it's not a fence it's a porta potty, so just make your way through Congress to Columbus, take a left and head north and you'll see the stage.
And is there a march after that? Where's the route? Do people know which way you're going, or is that
we're gonna go straight south? We're gonna turn around, go from the stage, head south down Columbus and down onto Museum Campus where we're hosting a rally from 12 to 3
the expo
right in front of the Field Museum.
Okay, hold on. Did you
go through Congress?
What was that?
Oh, what?
Gosh.
He made it, your mic wasn't really on.
That's okay.
Yeah, you have to. you have to turn Sydney's on so we can hear him laughing too. All right, so the rally is from 10 till
11
till March time.
Yeah,
and then,
which we're estimating around 11.
11, and then ideally from 11 to noon, we should be able to get everybody down. It's about a 2 kilometer trek.
Okay.
From there to or
that's
from
science
the
speak
stages.
For just around a mile.
Kilometer.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be an expo at the museum campus.
Yeah.
So Adler Planetarium, the Field Museum.
Well, so it's technically just on the south side of the Field Museum. There's multiple entrances to the field. It's this beautiful huge building. If you haven't been there, it's on the south side, the south entrance, and the march is actually going to process to the expo. And it'll be right there. There's going to be, like I said earlier, 100 tables set up, around 100 with different organizations. And it's just mosey on around, pick up a sticker at an organization, learn about what SPOT is at Northwestern, or see what the Nuclear Scientists Union is doing. Like, it's going to be great.
And then after
it's
done at 3, you can get half off at the Field Museum. And
oh, perfect.
And check it out.
Just tell them that you participated in the march or visit their table. And I think they're stamping, but we'll see what happens with that.
I'm sure everything will go very... It's scientists. It's going to go smoothly.
Yeah.
Is there a website, Facebook page, all of that for people to get more information?
Yeah.
Our website exactly is sciencemarchchicago.org, and then you can find us on Facebook.
Yeah.
And everything.
The website has a ton of stuff. That's probably the best place to find all the information. You can donate there. You can buy shirts. I'm wearing a shirt. Look at this shirt.
Cool
nice
science shirt.
Nice shirt.
Science shirt.
The Chicago, it's the Chicago Star with like the Earth around it. It's fun.
Oh, there you go.
And
Sydney,
then,
you're going to go to the March for Science?
I kind of want to just check out the booths.
Absolutely. Then stop by afternoon, like right at noon.
But I don't know. I kind of get nervous. I'm like, is that magic? No, it's science. This is science. I'm like, you sure it's not magic?
Witch!
I mean, can you even believe, we have to go to news, but can you believe that there's still people arguing about whether or not the planet is round? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, it resurfaced a few, like 2 months ago.
How is it?
They're basketball players, right?
Yes.
Well, they didn't necessarily go to college. So
maybe
but,
we're
you know,
just like, okay, now look at your basketball, all right? Now imagine this part of it is like
stay on
they
it.
They play with a round
exactly.
object.
Exactly.
Best of the memes. Google flat earth memes. It's best thing you'll
all right,
do
all
the
okay. Let's do that during the news. Time now for news. Coming up after the news, we're checking with our friend Ali Jados, who has a contest she wants you to help her out with. More after this news break. The day you A little something different for our show. I think that we like to have all kinds of music. And you know what? It's because our good friend Allie Jadis is in studio. She's part of a contest to get her band in front of Metallica at Soldier Field.
It's better than that. It's like a 5-day tour.
What?
So, yeah. To go on tour with Metallica and end in Soldier Field.
Now, on that track, what are you playing on that track? Are you playing guitar on that?
Yeah, I play guitar and sing in the band, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Where can people go to vote for Blood People?
You can go to Metallica.com and just pick Blood People. You just got to, like, put your email address in.
Okay.
And then confirm it after they send it to you.
But people can vote every day to put you over the top,
The voting thing has been all screwed up because just some things happen over the course of the contest. So now I think you can vote once per device.
Okay. Period. Ever. That's it.
Period.
But
that's
it. Right in front of me, I have three devices. Yeah. Everyone vote right now.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Vote for Blood People. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Sounds good. I got 5 Gmail accounts.
Yes. Did it, tweeted it. Good to go.
Esmeralda, get yourself on Metallica.com. Vote for Allie right now for Blood People. Everyone, I want to see that everyone, I'm going to need people to post a screenshot on my Patty V Show page on Facebook that you voted for Blood People.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a fan of Metallica. You have to be a fan of Allie Jadis, who's a regular on our show.
Yeah.
Plays all over the Chicagoland area. Great guitarist and singer. I'm sorry we couldn't get the band in to play live. It's just kind of, we only have an engineer. Bob only does Monday nights, and we were booked for a while.
Yeah, I figured. I was just, you know, just happy to be here.
Excellent. So how did you guys, how many bands do you play in? Because you've been in several bands.
Yeah, this is like, this project's been a little over a year.
Okay.
But I've done like solo stuff for a really, really long time. And I've been playing with the guitar player in the band since high school.
Okay.
So
that's a long time.
Yeah. So we had a band in high school. We had a band in college. So I've been, you know.
Have you competed on one of the shows? We were on The Voice or?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just, look, everyone's on their phone voting for you on
We are, yeah.
Yeah.
For Blood People.
I went to the Blood People's page and then it said, like, vote for Blood People. So through their page, they have a really visible link. So that's way easier to find.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Awesome. Yeah, the Twitter link is the exact link to @ Blood People Band.
Well, there you go. So go to bloodpeople.com. Is that what you want?
Yeah, you can go to bloodpeople.com.
And
takes you right to the Metallica page, right?
Yes, it does. Okay. It takes you straight to where you can vote.
And can you see how you're doing in comparison to other bands?
See, no, it's changed over the course of
the voting period.
So now they took the voting down because I don't know what something happened. So I don't know, but
you keep in there. Now, was there a first like sort of like paring down round?
Oh yeah, so there was 10 bands from Chicago, 10 bands from I don't know how many bands in the other cities, but there was 10 bands in Chicago and we made the top two. And so now there's 8 bands left. So I have like a 1 in 8 shot.
Wow.
Tonight we're trying to
go on tour with Metallica.
We're trying to put Blood People over the top with Allie Jadis. When does voting close?
The voting closes Tuesday at noon.
Okay. So we've got some time.
Yeah. Got a little bit of time. So we've got... I'm doing a major music video shoot this weekend. So and working, and it's just like, I can't think of anything else but Metallica.
I didn't grow up on Metallica.
Oh my gosh. SNM, that was one of my favorites. The Symphony in Metallica was amazing.
Oh yeah. That was like No Leaf Clover, I think, was their single that they released on that one.
It's so good.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Sydney, are you a Metallica guy?
Yeah, no.
By the way, is that Craig Robinson on my television from Windy City today? That's so, I didn't know he was in town. Craig, if you're in town listening to the show, you should be in the studio. I haven't seen you in years. Anyway, go ahead. I'm talking to the television like you can hear me right now. Like that was taped this morning or something. We are in studio with Allie Jadis, whose band Blood People is in competition to open for Metallica this summer at Soldier Field and as part of a 5-city tour with them. And have you ever met any of the members of Metallica?
No. And this is the best way to meet them.
Yep. It's open for
I knew I was going to meet them someday. And I'm just like, we're going to win.
All right, then. Let's put them
you
over.
You got my
the
vote. Top. Awesome. You got my vote.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Everyone's
Thank
going
you.
Through the process. Look, I can see that Michael is filling out his paperwork.
Yeah.
I was going to vote for you, but there's a lot of good bands on here.
Ouch.
No, there's some silly names, though. You guys, there are some bands that absolutely should lose out just because of their name.
I don't, should we tell? Can we say what the other band
names
are?
Yeah, they're online. Yeah.
Right. My, I think
these,
my
these are the
is,
bands not to vote for.
Okay. Yeah, right. Here you go. Please. Do not vote for. I just like it's Troy, and it's in all caps, and then in parentheses it tells you it's the acronym for the reality of yourself. So, do they fit all of that on front of Do they fit all of that on the CD jewel case?
You know, one thing I noticed, Blood People is the first one in the list.
Is
that hit the stage finalist.
No, it's not alphabetical.
You guys just sound like you should open for Metallica too.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Blood People. Yeah,
and
yeah.
The sound of your music we were playing first too.
Yeah, I
it's got
so
that.
Too.
Both. It's got that vibe.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the next band? What other bands should we
get? Oh, Mothership, which is like an 80s hair metal band, but not as good.
Okay.
There's Local H, which is it's very train spotting.
I was going to say, that's what it sounded like to me. Mm-hmm.
Wait, Local H?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a well-known band here in Chicago.
I'm just making stuff up.
Yeah.
Man. They're
good two-piece.
Yeah, they're great. They're
not as good as Blood People, though.
No. Oh, thanks. Shattered yeah, no, Local Sun. H, they're the other Chicago band. They're great. We're all fans of their band. But we're in it to win it. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So forget those guys.
When it comes to
we are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. Ali Jados and her band Blood People are up for the opportunity to open for Metallica this summer at Soldier Field as part of a 5-city tour. Go to bloodpeople.com and you can follow the link to the page to vote. And otherwise, go to metallica.com and find Blood People on that page. We were hanging out also with Rodrigo Fernandez, Michael Silver, who are part of the logistics committee for the March for Science this Saturday, which is happening all over the country,
all over the world.
So let's make Chicago's turnout the best in the world. Yeah. And how's that? I mean, we have this great museum campus. We have so many great scientists. We have engineering. We have so much tech going on in Chicago. This is a great way to find out what's going on in our community.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we have the second highest numbers in the United States. And so I think Chicago's really going to show out.
There. And Sydney is going to get people from the Science March to go see him at Zany's on that Saturday night.
Yeah. Is there a discount code for people that go to the Science March?
Yeah, really.
Or for us, at least.
That's how we should figure that out.
Yeah, well, you just got to let me know that you were at the Science March.
We got 45,000 people interested, so.
Yeah, if we could get 45,000 people to the Zany's.
We'll just have to add another show.
That's a full day.
Show. We'll just move you to the Soldier Field, right?
He is appearing with Pat Tomasulo at Zany's through Saturday night, so you can go again, that includes Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. There's one show Thursday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. And again, go to zanies.com. Or you can go to, are there any discount codes for Vamp if they go to the Science March?
Yep, there are now. Science is your code. You'll get 15% off.
There you go.
15% off this weekend with the code science.
Go to vamp.com for information.
Send an email real quick.
Let me make sure that works.
Talk to your producer.
I got to make sure I'm still booked at Zany's.
Let's see if everyone still has a career when we're done. More after this on 720 WGN. I am being laughed at and mocked in here, Michael Silver. I was at Ali and I go,
I'm right there with you, Patty.
I looked at Ali Jados and I go, oh, is this your band? And everyone yelled at me, this is Metallica. I didn't know. I don't know.
That should be a compliment.
Awesome.
You guys are really good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Patty got too confused with Metallica.
You sound like you've been rocking for so long.
Yeah.
You guys should be professional. So go to bloodpeople.com or metallica.com and vote for Blood People for the opportunity to open for Metallica this summer, including their date in Chicago at Soldier Field and then four other cities on their tour. We also have our friends who are on the logistics committee. And we have Michael Silver and Fernando
Rodrigo. Fernando Alfredo.
Rodrigo, stop it. Stop. Everyone stop. Reset. Can you, Michael, please take that out of the recording. Mike, please take that out of the recording.
You got
the podcast. Let's start. We have to start the whole show all over again. and we have to redo everything exactly the same. If you go back and get Joe Parisi so I can do Guard Llama again, mm-hmm. I'd really appreciate that.
I'll just hit this button and he'll know where I am.
Rodrigo Fernandez joins us in studio. Hello, Rodrigo.
Hello.
Rodrigo. Just write it down so I can mess that up.
I mean, it's a little challenging because there's also Fernando Rodriguez, which I get a lot as well.
I know. Why? Who's Fernando Rodriguez?
I don't. It's nobody particular. It's just Rodrigo Fernandez. The name of the first and the last name are flipped around.
I was going to say, you kind of have two last names.
Is it last name or first?
Both.
Rodrigo's not. Rodriguez is.
Fernando's a first name, but
Fernando's is last name. Okay, one at a time, everybody. Brandon, slow your roll. I'm just kidding. I mess up his name. He's the one that can address me. You were saying Rodrigo.
Rodrigo's first name. Fernando's a first name. Fernandez is the last name. Rodriguez.
Oh, see, it's not that easy, is it? Yeah. Brandon, you carry on. You go ahead and make fun of me again as well.
No, Fernandez.
Sydney and Danny. Well, it also. You know what? None of it matters. Start the whole show all over again. I'm leaving. You guys just take over. It'll all be fine. Michael and Rodrigo are part of the logistics committee for the March for Science in Chicago.
Yes,
which is taking place this Saturday morning, April 22nd,
Earth Day. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have to compete with the people from the tax march?
Compete with them? No.
I mean, you're like, hey, even though you should have been out there passing out flyers, guess what you should be doing next week?
Our objectives are very different, I think.
It's a different message, too.
Oh,
obviously,
completely.
Vastly different message. Yeah. But are you getting any sort of concern from people that this is more of a protest?
Yeah, I think that's been a common comment for any of these marches or anything. And most of them are like, yeah, we're a protest. But we're like, no, we're a celebration of science in the short form. And people then are like, well, then why now? And it's like, well, now because, yes, while this is political, it is not meant to be partisan. It is political, but ideally it is not partisan. Facts should permeate political party boundaries, right? But this is a political march. It is in response to the current administration, but these issues have been permeating and bubbling for a long time.
Yeah, I never quite get the argument of why now, because then you're saying then never.
Yeah, exactly. Never, right? It's like, cool, if you agree these are problems, they were like, well, then they were problems under Obama. I'm like, yeah,
they
why not tackle them when they get tackled rather than ignore them forever?
It seems like a false choice to say, well, you didn't do it before, so you shouldn't do it now.
I'm looking at it. You always find those people that are contrarians. Like, you might have people out there.
I call
like,
them angry.
Yeah, protesting against your science. It's like, all subjects matter. Are you serious right now?
Oh, my God.
Subjects matter. It's like, well, this we're talking about science. Well, what about philosophy?
Cool, you guys can have
the science. Like,
yeah. Oh my God, dude.
All subjects matter is a shirt that we should capitalize on right now.
I feel like that's
everything
kind of what,
matters.
I feel like that's what Marvel and stuff is doing right now. They come out with like Ant-Man, they come out with Spider-Man, and now they're like, and now all heroes matter in all these like conglomerate movies. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
This is a good idea.
You need to market that shirt.
Yeah, all subjects matter. Just bring that sign and be a heckler at our march.
Oh, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? And I'm going to have like 10 people behind me. I'm like, I was just joking.
You folks took me too seriously.
You end up running for office in 2 years for some congressional seat. Who knows?
Sydney, have you gone to any marches in Los Angeles? Have you been part of any of the anything that's kind of
I did the women's march.
You did the women's march?
Yeah, yeah, I did the women's march.
Why did you do the women's march? Why didn't you march before for women?
Why now? Because women matter now. I just thought with the political climate, I think I should stand up for my ladies, you know.
No, I'm glad that I mean it was such a crazy day.
Yeah,
it was insane.
It was an internationally sort of charged day because I was so surprised at the turnout for that. So I hope that you guys get there was a big turnout for even the tax march on Saturday. It was
Saturday,
by the way. Yeah. How many of you finished your taxes this week? Did you guys do your taxes?
I finished them like 2 months ago.
Yeah, come on, do them early.
Oh, you know what happened with that? As a matter of fact, as someone who has, I usually, in the last 20 years, I typically have anywhere from 30 to 50, maybe sometimes 60, 1099s.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Wow. It's just too much. I deny that reality.
Yeah.
Well, so, performing, because I get the same thing.
We have a different comedy club every single week, so that's been my career for most of my time doing stand-up. But This year it was less, and I figured, well, I'll just do it when I get to it and stuff. But it turned out if I had done one any earlier, there would have been one that came
that
in.
Yep, that last one.
There's always that one person.
I got one 2 weeks before, like just 2 weeks ago. So if I had done it, I would have had to file
extension?
Not an extension, an amended tax return.
Have you ever had to do that, Patty?
Yes.
Oh, me too. I did it my first year here, and it takes months, and it was a nightmare. You have to copy all the paperwork, actual paperwork, mail everything in.
Yeah, you have to redo the. It's Lord. A nightmare. So yeah, but it was weird doing my taxes this year because I was kind of like, well, you know, if they're gonna come after me, I can just be like, well, then president doesn't have to show his work. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Sydney Adeniyi. Hey, have you and Esmeralda ever met?
Yes, I think I.
We met sort of like a few days ago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What?
I think in studio when we talked.
Or were we in? I don't remember.
A few days ago?
I think last time I was here.
I was going to say, you haven't been here for a while, so I'm totally confused.
No, but when you guys were upstairs.
Okay.
No, I wasn't upstairs.
No, he wasn't upstairs. Sydney? No.
Not me.
I have no idea.
I'm totally confused. Can we start the show all over again, Michael? I've asked this
all the way.
Starting it up, 3, 2, and 1.
Okay. No, that's not the way I wanted to start the show. We need like the intro music and coming up on Pretty Late and all the different things we're going to do.
Okay.
All right, then.
I'll load it up.
Fine, then. By the way, Esmeralda's coming with me tomorrow. Did you say yes to going to see Singing in the Rain?
Yes.
So Singing in the
Rain. I like that you now must confirm twice.
I know, but I'm doing it on the air. So like you have to, like if listeners come in and try to find us at the Pickwick Theater, they're showing Singing in the Rain at the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge.
Oh, nice.
So I'm very excited.
I have seen that one.
All right.
Yeah.
Have you really?
Yeah, I've seen Singing in
the Rain. And I'm not trying to sound, I mean, it's just that you had never seen Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
So I just figured you never saw any classic movies before.
I've seen that one.
What is happening? Michael?
Hello?
Wait. I see what's happening.
I must have known.
Dr. Dingman just drifting into our show.
Every time.
Dr. Dingman, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Patty. I found a nice pastoral springtime piece of music. I thought it would be a nice way to begin our segment.
Well, this is remarkable. We're not entirely sure how. I'm not sure if like you've talked to Todd Manley and somehow have direct access to the show, because I was kind of expecting a phone call. But this works too. I love that you can just kind of drift into our show, and I say take it away, because I love when listeners have the opportunity to enjoy your skills.
Yeah, well, I do too, Patty. I enjoy being on your program, and your listeners always have a peaked interest, and I'm happy to help them.
Well, let me go ahead and make sure that people know the number, 312-981-7200. We have Dr. Lars Dingman, who is an internationally renowned psychic. He's actually the iTunes psychic. And from finding out, he gets some information from you, but really, I mean, like whenever you see a psychic, they're like, oh, well, he got information, like, you know, he started talking to them and could tell by the way they reacted to certain things. Dr. Dingman he can decipher your future or even your past lives by knowing what the last three songs were that you randomly heard on your shuffle.
Huh. That's right.
So 312-981-7200. He has really, people have gotten some really great results. I mean, it's not always what people want. Would that be accurate, Dr. Dingman? Because people kind of have this idea.
Sure. It's like life itself, Patty, you know. We all want to be 6'4" blonde and playing professional sports, but someone's got to sit in the stands, right? We all don't get what we want, but as Keith Richards and Mick Jagger said, you get what you need.
That's true. Now, Sydney, do you listen to music on shuffle, or do you like always have? Do you have like sort of a predetermined playlist?
So I sometimes just tell my phone to play music, and it's usually shuffle.
Do you happen to know what I think that we should try this out on you and see what Dr. Dingman is able to call from your.
It's what shuffled. So I got to look this up to see what I didn't actually select to play.
Interesting.
Yeah, they have to be random. But what it is, it's the universe reaching out and communicating with you via these randomly generated song titles. It's a way of tell you if you're on the right track, if you're screwing up, what you need to focus on or work on. It's like having a life coach, and it's the universe.
Oh, okay.
Can you find your three songs?
I don't have it. It just shows my recent, and it just shows the artist.
Sometimes it's hard to find. Yeah. I think that, like, it's almost as though you have to kind of remember them.
Yeah.
But I think that people, for the most part, can kind of... Esmeralda, can you think of the last three songs you randomly heard?
No.
No?
I'd have to look it up.
All right, then. That's fine. Michael, we have a listener on the line. We have Michael, can you tell us what songs our listener has?
Absolutely. She has... you're going to have to help me out with these, with the artists, Kathy, but you have Forever Yours... By whom?
By David Moore.
By David Moore. You have Heart of Glass by Blondie, and you have You'll Never Walk Alone by whom?
Carrie and the Pacemakers.
My favorite.
Did you get that? Oh, we lost Outer Dingman.
Oh, no. All right, let's
He was so intimidated by those songs.
He disappeared into the night.
He's disappeared from our call screen. I don't think I hung up on him.
No, this is so weird, Patty, because it actually, the call screen just... descended into like this puff of smoke.
It
actually.
Did. It just, it,
oh, here we go.
It was. It was really surreal because he's not. What happened? He's gone again. He was honestly. He was so overwhelmed by the songs that you chose.
Maybe it was me.
Kathy, how do you listen to your music? Do you have like? Do you use Spotify or do you use like? Do you have like a sort
Believe
of,
it or not, it's old fashioned.
What do you mean it's old fashioned?
I don't have iPod because I'm old and I don't know how to use it.
Okay.
So it's just the radio.
iPod is, I'm sorry, I lost you there, Patty. But iPod is not a. It's a music is not an age thing. People listen to music their whole lives. The technology of how it's delivered changes, but whether it's iPod or a vinyl record, it doesn't matter. Now, I'm sorry, I got disconnected while the caller Michael was reading his songs. Could you tell me the three songs again, please?
Do you want Kathy to do it?
Yeah,
do you want Michael to tell you?
Kathy, hit us with those three songs one more time.
Sure, it's Forever Yours, David Moore, Heart of Glass, Blondie, and You'll Never Walk Alone, Carrie and the Pacemakers.
Okay, so You'll Never Walk Alone. What was the Blondie song?
Heart of Glass.
Heart of Glass and Forevermore.
Forever Yours.
And this Forever Yours. And this is Michael I'm reading, yeah? Or this is you?
For Kathy. This is Kathy's playlist.
Kathy. Okay,
yes.
Kathy.
Yes.
Well, first of all, the third song, You'll Never Walk Alone. I'm seeing, have you suffered a loss in your family recently?
2 days ago, my sister died.
I'm very sorry to hear that, yeah. Well, this is, especially this song, this one came through very strongly for me. And look at the title, Kathy. You'll Never Walk Alone. What does that tell you?
Yeah, she's with me.
Yeah. And often...
I'm sorry.
No, you're perfectly fine. Emotion, this is a perfectly appropriate emotion. A lot of times, people say and mutter things at times like this, at funerals and wakes, and they seem like empty platitudes. But really... they're cliches because they really go to the root and heart of truth. Now, there are two ways you can see the universe, right? And many things are based on only belief, but I happen to have scientific knowledge that these things are true. You can either believe that when your body dies, that's the end of you, or you continue on in some way. There is proof, thousands of years of human history, of civilizations all around the globe documenting contact and conversations between different realities in different realms. There's certainly no doubt in the world's religions that the soul or whatever you want to call it survives the passing of the body. And what I find in my practice is people will seek me out when they need answers. And this is the loudest. This is like ringing the Liberty Bell. You'll never walk alone. This is your sister is with you and she'll continue to be with you. I think in this dark time, it should hopefully bring you some closure and some happiness even. Were you two very close?
Yes, we were.
Yeah.
She's my best friend.
Of course. Well, and that doesn't have to change. What were the other two songs again?
Heart of Glass, and Forever Yours.
Okay. So you've got, you'll never walk alone. You've got forever yours. I think she's sending you a pretty clear message, Kathy. And the heart of glass, she knows right now that you are upset and you are heartbroken. Like what happens to glass if you drop it on the ground. But that song was not Heart of Broken Glass. It was Heart of Glass. This is her way of saying, don't feel brokenhearted. I'm with you. I'm forever yours. I'm walking alone. You're not walking alone. I'm walking with you. I may be walking slightly more rapidly and easily now than when I was alive, but I am with you always in your heart and in your mind. And this is certainly, I think, can be interpreted. I'm not going to tell you how to interpret it. Certainly, this is your life and your family. But what the universe is saying is, hey, I'm still here. That's your sister saying, I'm still here. Don't break your glass heart. I'm different, but I'll always be with you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Kathy, it was so wonderful to hear from you, and I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have a lovely night.
Thanks for calling, Kathy.
You too. Thank you very much. Bye.
Let's take a quick break here. 312-981-7200. Feel free to join us if you'd like to talk to Dr. Dingman. 312-981-7200. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining us on the line is Dr. Lars Dingman, our iTunes psychic. I call him ours because I feel like we've been here with you for now it's been 3 years. It's been a pleasure.
It has been. Yeah, yes, 3 years.
3 years with Dr. Dingman. And yes.
Yeah, we've talked to many, many people. And as you know, most of the time, the readings are jovial and somewhat comical, and I help people with small, silly problems. But occasionally, we have a call, like the last call that we had from Kathy. And it's truly amazing to me how succinct the universe can be when it senses that you need it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Obviously, Kathy is heartbroken, as one would be losing a loved one. But, and again, I don't want to infringe on anyone's personal belief systems, but either you believe in a metaphysical existence after the body passes away, or you don't. And if you do believe in that, I think it's perfectly just as rational to believe that the universe can communicate with us currently. And this is a way of sending solace and joy and love back to people who are still alive once you are not. I understand that it's a very obviously sad and heartbreaking time, but I think you can also find a gram of solace in there, that there is communication.
I agree. I think that the, you know, when people feel like, oh, it's coincidence, or I don't agree. I mean, can that be possible? Of course. I mean, every situation is different and needs to be judged on its own terms. But I think that there are so many of those moments that we dismiss as coincidence that if, upon further reflection, you might find that there is that part of the universe trying to reach out to you. Sydney Denny joins us in studio. He's performing at Zany's in Rosemont this weekend, tomorrow through Saturday. And Dr. Dingman, I asked him to let us know what his three songs are. So would you be willing to read Sydney?
Sure.
Excellent. Sydney, what are your three songs? Okay. Oh, let me turn your microphone. There you
go. Okay, cool. So my three songs from when I tell Google Play to play a list.
Okay.
Best Day of My Life, American Authors, and then Love Somebody, Maroon 5, and Rude by Magic.
Rude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why you gotta be so rude?
All right, so you got Rude, uh-huh. Love Someone, and Best Day.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so Best Day, Rude, and Love Someone.
Yes,
I'm seeing that you just you're single, you're not married currently, right, Sydney?
That's true.
Yeah, I'm seeing that recently. I'm seeing within the last 4 days or 4 weeks, I'll say, you've met a sassy person that you're highly attracted to.
Yeah, actually, in the last 2 days, actually. It was like 3 days, two, three days ago. Yeah.
Yeah, that is within four.
Yeah.
This is, I see you when I picture you in my mind. I'm seeing, you know, the hats at the graduation that the kids throw up in the air?
They're
called they're called mortars, right?
Okay.
And what I'm seeing a mortar with a smiley face under it. I see that as you. And I think you see yourself as a intelligent, with it kind of person. And you,
true.
I'm assuming, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I think I'm pretty smart.
Yeah, and you have been having a problem meeting people who are your equal, in which those people that you have a sexual attraction to. You have your smart friends, and you have your hot friends, but you don't have one that covers checks both boxes until this new person. True or false?
That is very true, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what your songs are telling me, that what happens with you... And I'm seeing what happens, Sydney, when I get these song titles is I see little movies in my head based on the person, and it conjures up images. And I'm seeing an endless stream for you of cheap, tawdry, filthy sexual affairs. So bravo to you.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Yeah,
I'm seeing a lot of we'll call them mini relationships, right? But I'm seeing the deep end of a pool and the shallow end of a pool. They're not your equal. But you believe that this person, is her name, begins with an S or a C? I'm seeing Cindy.
That's weird because that is the manager over at Zany's.
That is the manager. No, no.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not an S or a C.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm seeing there's a sound in there somewhere that this person is your equal, if certainly a worthy sparring partner verbally, and she also likes to get down.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very true.
So your three songs pointing in this direction that this. I believe what the universe is trying to tell you here is that this is not just another run-of-the-mill relationship that you're going to have, that this could be someone with some longevity for you in the relationship department and someone who could be a significant person in your life. But it's incumbent upon you to now captivate her as well.
Okay.
I'm seeing... Are you a singer at all, Sydney?
I am a performer. I'm not a singer. I do stand up, so.
Yeah. I'm seeing what would advance your romantic goals here, to put it in a G-rated forum for AM radio, is you should serenade her.
Oh, wow.
Like,
I'm seeing like a Luther Vandross type of do you own any leather clothing?
I don't need to think of Sydney that way, but go ahead. Carry on.
Not right now. Actually, I don't. No leather for me.
Have you in the past had a leather outfit of any kind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like a brown, like a black. I want to say brown leather.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, not brown black, leather.
Brown. Yeah. And it's almost like it reminds me of what James Brown would wear, or Eddie Murphy, or Luther Vandross. And I think you know what I would like to hear right now? What I'm sensing right now is that you are so popular and busy that you are a little distracted even from this woman, and you need to bring focus to your vibration for her. And I think the best way to do that is by singing right here, right now.
All right, let's take a break and let Sydney, right here, right now, but after the break and after the news, maybe, will you sing?
Okay, I'm going to do it.
All right,
sing.
Stay tuned for Sydney.
Something low down and funky.
But I think you need to text this girl and let her know that he's going to sing for her on the air. I'm just saying.
Oh, absolutely. Get her to call in so that we can talk about it after. And I could do her reading. I will get her three songs, and we'll see if this thing is I'm going to connect on both ways.
Okay. All right, here we go. 312-981-7200 for anybody else who'd like to join us on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Dr. Lars Dingman joins us on the line. More after this on 720. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Sydney Adeniyi, who is performing at the Rosemont Zanies this weekend through Saturday, along with WGN Morning News' Pat Tomasulo. On the line with us is Dr. Lars Dingman, who has been working with Sydney, working through his song list and discussing his romantic love life.
Here we go.
Here we go. And Dr. Dingman, now you have told him he needs to sing. Explain why this is important part of this process.
Well what I'm sensing is the woman that he met is Sydney is used to being with very attractive women who are not his intellectual equal and therefore easily manipulated and moved around. And that's fine if you're young and single and having a good time. But this particular girl who he found, I believe what his songs were saying is that she is an equal. And if he were open to some sort of serious or long-term relationship, that she checks all the boxes to give it a shot. But he's got to raise his game. And by that, I mean raise his vibration. And one great way of doing that is by singing, because it's physically turning your body into a large vibrating chamber, right? That's what singing is.
Okay, Sydney, turn yourself into a large vibrating figure.
Okay. I just want to let everyone know listening, I do tell jokes better than I sing. So it's just a warning.
Sydney, do not be self-conscious. It is not, if you commit to it and you're singing from your diaphragm, not from your throat, it will change the vibrations of all your different chakra centers. And you will feel, as ridiculous as it sounds, you will feel somewhat changed, subtly changed. And that's what we're going for. It's the internal change manifested by the outward projection of noise.
Okay.
Give us your outward projection of noise.
All right. Here we go.
I don't know why I'm clearing my throat. Okay.
Okay. Just go ahead and take it a cappella, my friend.
Yep.
Oh, a cappella. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm gonna sing a little Luther Vandross. Take you out.
Okay.
Excuse me, miss, what's your name? Where you from? And can I come? And possibly, can I take you out tonight? To a movie, to the park? I have you home before it's dark, so let me know. Can I take you out tonight?
That's a good start, Sydney.
Hey. Thank you.
The crowd goes crazy.
But let me say something.
Yes.
That you were singing as if you were in church. That's not how Luther Vandross sings it. What I'm trying to get to is a more earthy. Libidinous expression.
Oh.
Yeah. It needs to be more genuine. You're singing with your throat. I can hear it. It needs to come from your gut.
I kind of. I hear what you're saying. I would put money in a basket. I wouldn't get in the basket.
Right. Exactly. And it's a big basket. It's going to take a lot to get Patty. Well, not Patty.
Not me, but I'm saying.
Pretty much.
If someone sang to me like that, I'd be like, sure, here's a dime.
Yeah. Congratulations. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you pass the basket down the pew at church, I'd be like, sure. So try it again.
Try more authentic. Don't be self-conscious.
Here we go.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that'll help.
Excuse me, miss. What's your name? Where you from? And can I come? And possibly, can I take you out tonight?
Yeah.
To the movie, to the park. I have you home before it's dark. And possibly, can I take you out tonight?
Okay. All right. I put my leg in the basket.
I got a leg. I got a leg in the basket.
You got a leg in the basket.
Did you feel the difference, Sydney?
Yeah, I felt the difference. Yes, I definitely did.
Okay. Silly though it seems, it's an actual thing. Now, what I need you to do if you're really serious about pursuing this woman, do that every day. When you're alone, not on the radio, I realize it's difficult for you to do, not while you're performing, but just alone in your room, and really try and work up a visceral connection to the thoughts that are created by the lyrics. Mm-hmm. And I think if you bring that commitment to your next encounter with this young lady, you'll find things go even better.
Okay.
All right, then.
All right.
And that goes for everybody as far as the kind of the level of commitment they bring to each encounter. Don't you think, Doctor?
Sure, not just, sure, just in regular life. You're going to do better at something that you are completely committed to. If you're just going through the motions, people will figure that out, and you'll be ostracized or at least mocked behind your back.
Oh, now I have to worry about that? I don't even think about that. I've always lived...
you commit, Patty.
Right. That's, well, I don't know if I commit, but I feel committed in certain situations.
Okay, I got to commit.
How can people find out more information about your skills, about the work that you've done, about your upcoming appearances, Dr. Dingman?
The best way is to go to the Facebook page, iTunes Psychic, and like the page, and then follow me on the Twitter, and all my performances and all my shows, we do the weekly show, it all comes through there. So it's the Facebook and Twitter at iTunes Psychic, all one word.
Well, I promise that I will commit to singing more, because you know that, I don't know if you've ever, there's actually a song out there, I believe it's called Patty Don't Sing, which is both a fact and a request. It's Patty Don't Sing, and Patty... Don't sing. So I will commit to doing better at feeling comfortable with melodies.
Yeah, and I'm gonna sing more too. I'm gonna do that daily.
Mm-hmm. It's unblocking.
Yeah, you what? Should. It unblocks the demon within it. It lets out your true spirit.
Okay, I need to get some spirit out. Well, yeah. Dr. Dingman. So where can they go again? To iTunesPsychic.com.
iTunes Psychic, yes. The podcast is iTunes Psychic on iTunes and Facebook and Twitter. Everything is iTunes Psychic.
Excellent. Oh, it's always
all
a pleasure.
You'd look.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I think that some people get a kind of withdraw a little bit. They're not quite sure how to take you. I think that I think when we have these conversations, it there's a little something for everybody. It might not be this time, maybe next time, but I'm so grateful that you were able to talk to Kathy and help her through something that's a very difficult time, of course. And for anybody who's going through similar things, I think that there is some solace in the words that you had for her. So thank you so much for that.
Well, you're very welcome. I was glad I could be here for her and kind of shine a light into that possibility. And hopefully Kathy will be able to embrace it, and it will make her feel better in the short and long term.
Well, I certainly hope so. Thank you so much, Dr. Dingman. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good night. Thank you, Patty.
Good night. Thank you so much. More after this on 720 WGN. It's time for Tell Me Something Good when we come back. 312-981-7200. Tell me something good. You know you want it. You got something good. It could be anything. Small or big. Important, not important. Important to you. That's all that matters. More after this on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me. Yeah. Tell me something good.
Oh yeah, we're winding down the show. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Joining me is comedian Sydney Adeniyi.
Hey, hey.
And we invite you to tell us something good. 312-981-7200. What do you got that's good? What do you got, Michael? I'm going to start with you tonight.
Oh, fantastic.
You weren't ready for it, were you? You're like, wait a minute.
I was still fading down the music, so this is perfect. There's a lot of good things happening. This whole week has been about my brother. So he, on top of him getting the job he wanted and trying out for that, he actually works for the Chicago Cubs, and today was the day that he got his World Series ring. His
Did
own
really?
World Series ring.
Awesome. That's great.
So
have you seen it yet?
I have not. Okay. I have not. And he's going to be gone all week. So it's just like I'm sitting on the edge of my seat to see what it looks like.
Oh, that's cool. And they're big rings. You know you got to put it on and see how heavy it is.
Oh, yeah. You got to put that on. Put it in a case. Make sure nobody touches it or even looks at it or even thinks about it.
That's
so.
Very cool. Well, congratulations to your brother. I know. Someday tell us something good about your life. Sydney, what do you got going on that's good?
Oh, some good stuff.
You're dating this woman that you just met this week?
I just met a young lady, Dr. Dingman.
That's great.
Pointed that out. a lot of good stuff. I just got an email from my acting coach in in LA, which I'm really excited about because I'm about to start scene study. And I got an agent out there now.
Nice.
And in about 2 weeks, I will be starting my role in a web series.
Oh, great.
That's pretty cool. So that's really, really cool. So that's why I moved to LA.
To start doing all that stuff.
To do more acting and stuff. So all that is happening within the last couple of weeks, and I'm excited about it.
Oh, I love it. That's very cool. Esmeralda?
I'm going to go see Singing in the Rain tomorrow.
That's my good thing. I was going to say I'm going to see Singing in the Rain tomorrow.
I have flamenco classes.
I didn't mean to say you couldn't say Singing in the Rain.
Well, I did already, so.
That's fantastic. Have you ever seen Singing in the Rain?
No.
Oh, see, I'm excited.
Yeah, first time.
Singing in the Rain is at the Pickwick in Park Ridge, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. There's a lot more going on at the 7 p.m. show. There's going to be, I believe there's music and, conversation about the movie. At 2 p.m., though, Esmeralda and I will be there with a bunch of people who don't work during the day. So at least not tomorrow. By the way, Jasmine is joining us. Hey, Jasmine, what are you doing up this late?
I don't have school today because it's report card pickup.
That's right. It's parent-teacher day.
Yep, and the good thing is I have all A's and B's.
Jasmine!
Way to go.
Congratulations. That's very cool. How is softball going?
It's going well today. My gym class went outside, so I got to break it in the wide open.
Was it cold out, or was it still warm out when you played outside?
It was gonna rain, but it wasn't freezing cold. Wow. It was just like the clouds were building up.
Sure.
But my aide was pitching the ball, and one of my other friends was fielding it, and my aide said I hit it about like 90 feet. And we were using the big 16-inch ball.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
Oh, that is cool. And so have you hit the smaller ones yet? Because the big ones are harder as much as...
The small ball is what I have. I have a 12-inch.
Right. And it feels different because when you hit a... if you hit that 16-inch ball that far...
You need
that's
power
a,
for that.
Yeah, that's a good hit.
Which ball do you guys use?
I usually use I played on my softball team at Lane Tech. I played a 12-inch hard softball. So like there's like a squishy ball.
Yeah, that's the one. The 16-inch is the one we use in gym.
Yeah, I'm not as good at playing 16-inch because I get impatient in the batter's box waiting for the ball.
is that the one you guys use?
Do you ever play 16-inch?
Sydney? I didn't play softball.
You're not in Chicago? No, how about you, Mike?
Yeah, of course. 16 inches is the way to go. That's like what the professionals use. And if you're going to be playing on an outside sport, it's really fun. And I know exactly what you're talking about. It takes so long for it to float up in the air and then come back down and then you hit it.
I know.
This whole long thing. But yeah, 16 inches is the way to go.
And Patty, I was since I can't really watch the games, the Cubs games.
Right.
What do the rings look like? Because everyone's saying they're the biggest things in the world. Right?
Yeah. So they're very cool looking. So it has, I believe there are 108 diamonds as part of like the sort of big background, and then you have the blue, and then you have blue sapphires to make the Cubs C, and then there are rubies right for the UBS in
that
the middle.
So pretty.
Yeah, it's huge too, but it's a really beautiful ring. And on the inside, there's actually, you can inscribe on the inside of a ring. It has a goat in there. What's the rest of it? I know that there's more on there, like the.
Yeah, you have your name on the side of it as well. That's etched in the nice metal that they have. It looks just fantastic, and the size is incredible. It could like fit on your thumb, basically, Jasmine. It's a pretty wild ring.
Or my wrist.
I was listening to Saturday's game. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the wind could affect a baseball that much.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's not that light of a ball.
Well, but the thing is, if the winds are strong enough, especially like at a certain point of its height, if the wind can sort of lift it a little bit higher, you know, makes that difference between it landing, you know, at the wall or going up over the into the basket, which is
sad. Sad we didn't help the Cubs though.
I know, but you know what? They've won two in a row, so we're doing.
So they won this series.
They lost one against the Brewers and they won the last two. So they lost the first one, and then yesterday they won 9-7, and then today I believe Addison Russell had a game winning home run at the end.
Well, at least we won the series.
Exactly. And I mean, that's the thing is if we drop one out of every series, that's fine. But I think we lost five in a row.
Well, I hope you guys have a good rest of the week.
You too. Okay, have a great weekend. Enjoy your day off, okay?
I will.
All right, have fun.
Bye.
Yeah, we have Griffin has parent teacher conferences tomorrow too, and my husband's like, he's like, should we go? Isn't it sad when you get to the point where Griffin's 13, and I've kind of felt badly today because Declan, my younger son, we had an evaluation, an in-home evaluation for additional care. He has significant disabilities, and we qualify for certain services, hopefully to help him at home, because he tends to hurt himself. He bites his own hand. He can't talk, so he gets frustrated, and he also seeks out a lot of sensory. Like he taps like empty bottles on his. He likes empty water bottles. He likes to tap those because he likes the sensation of it. But unfortunately, sometimes that's not enough for him. He'll if there's a glass window, he likes to tap. He likes the vibration of tapping his head against it. And he broke our back window with his head. So we have to change. We had to change some of the windows in our apartment so that in case. I mean, because we do watch him all the time, but there is a moment where you turn around. Yeah. So we had a social worker come to our house today to talk about some of the services that are available in order to hopefully get a little bit of help at home. And so I was talking to the social worker about my son Griffin and how he's a teenager now, my older son. And I picked Griffin up from school and I said, hey, how was school today? And he goes, why do you care? And I had to pull the car over so I could turn around and look at him and go, excuse me? And he immediately said, I'm sorry, I love you, mommy. Because I wasn't like gonna, I was just so surprised. I mean, yeah. It was the like one moment he's my sweet kid who, you know, thinks that mommy's kind of goofy and funny. And the next thing you know, he's all surly. So I told the social worker that only Griffin came in a few minutes later after school. And the social worker, was sitting there and I go, so how was school today, Griffin? And he goes, it was good. And the social worker goes, right answer. And I'm like, well, don't let him know that I was talking about him. That's only going to make him, I would make me surly, as an adult. But yeah, so it was kind of an interesting day. I have these two amazing boys who could not be any more different. But Griffin, what do you care? Holy, where did you come from? Yeah. I've been looking at like his baby pictures. I'm like, he was really sweet.
Aw, they're just at that
teenager.
Age.
Teenager now.
He is super sweet, and I thought it was. It cracked me up that he apologized so quickly because I pulled over.
He was probably like, "Oh, where did that come from?
Yeah. What do you care?
Did I just get smart?"
It is interesting that like the difference between like if I had done that to my parents. I don't know what your parents would have done if you had said that.
Oh, I would have got smacked.
I would. I mean, my dad would. I mean, it would have been. My dad only hit me twice. I don't know if that would have been a slap or not. But I think that. I mean, there were certain times when he called me a smart ass, and we had like real loud arguments. I mean, we'd yell at each other when I was a teenager. But I mean, like it was never a conversation. Like it was never as subtle as like, excuse me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and for some reason, that's really, it's somewhat effective. So far, it's effective with Griffin.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like you want to check that? You know, you want to try that again? Sort of a moment. My parents would have never given me that. You know?
Yeah, would I got smacked right away.
Right.
Or, like, even if I said, now, what I would do with my parents is I would get smart jokingly. And, like, they would joke back, but then I would still get smacked for it. Wow. So, like, it's like, ha ha. You know, hit me in the head. So,
did you ever get smacked, Michael?
Oh my gosh, yes, more than my fair share. I was.
Were you a troublemaker?
I like to cause a little bit of trouble. I also like to venture around a lot. I remember I got lost one time by a river, and my dad was not too happy about that.
He hit you after that?
Yeah.
Because he was scared. You made him so scared that was his response. That's what I've heard people do.
Jeez, yeah, that was a wild time. But otherwise, I tried to be a good boy.
Esmeralda, did you ever get hit?
Oh yeah, there was the belt in my house.
Ooh.
There's always the threat of the belt.
Wow.
Yeah. I was a little punk kid though, and I would throw temper tantrums where I would kick my feet on the ground if I knew my mom was downstairs and I was like throwing a tantrum, and I'd be in my room and I would kick the floor.
It'd be like the bad neighbor.
I love that we're all troublemakers. I don't even have time to ask Vic Vaughn if he was a troublemaker and got slapped around.
We can just assume.
We're just going to assume that you got hit. Nick D is up next. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. We are going to be on after the Blackhawks tomorrow. And you know what? Keep hope alive. Mm-hmm. They only have to win one game at a time. So they win this one and then go on to the next one. We'll have Brent Sobel joining us as well as Dr. John Duffy. So win or lose, we're going to have a psychologist on the air to help us through it, how to get emotionally prepared for the next phase of the Blackhawks playoffs.